Hello and welcome to the Dune Minute Podcast, your place to deep dive minute by minute into the cinematic adaptation of Frank Herbert's World of Dune. I'm one of your hosts, John.
And I'm Zach.
And we are finishing our flight into Arrakeen this weekend, and we're going to end this week with a view of the moon. Did I just like steal your line word on that?
No. My note was, begins with a shot of the mountains, ends with a shot of the moons.
Oh, close enough. Yeah, I just hijacked that entire intro from you, and there's nothing you can do about that.
It's fine. So. I don't want to re-record. We're so close.
But yeah, we're starting this minute with more complete views of the city. We see just how much larger Arrakeen is. Spoilers, it is still not a small city. It is very large.
Very big city.
I mean, does the book ever give us a population? Or does the encyclopedia give us a population?
I did not see one when I was doing research for these collection of minutes. I'm almost certain those nerds did give some kind of population, or at least square footage.
Yeah.
Square mileage, I guess you would probably be measured in. Nothing's coming to the top of my head. But regardless, it is a big city.
Yeah.
Before we get over the city, Thufir says the shield wall.
Yes.
Which is the point of contention that I wanted to bring up.
Before you get on your soapbox.
Okay.
Thufir says it protects the city from the weather and the worms.
Which is not untrue. That is exactly what the shield wall is supposed to do.
Yes. Now get on your soapbox of anger.
Thank you. In the books and encyclopedia, this is not an actual shield. I think the name shield wall is misleading.
Okay.
It's misleading in the movies, not necessarily the books, because we get the explanation in the books.
Because our understanding of shields right now from the movie is the little generator that's on, you know, the individual bodies, and it's the blue vibrating shield that makes a lot of noise because vibrational energy.
Exactly. And if you take into context something that I don't know that we've learned yet, I think we learn it next week, but worms are attracted to vibrations.
Shai Hulud does love a good vibration.
Good vibrations. Just like the Beach Boys loves a good vibration.
Do you think Shai Hulud just in its spare time just listens to Pet Sounds?
Good. Is that the album that song's on?
I don't think.
What is Pet Sounds? Is on.
Pet Sounds is, all right. First of all, I'm disappointed that you don't know.
There's a lot of music that I don't know.
Pet Sounds is arguably one of the best albums made in the 20th century. It is by the Beach Boys. It is a fantastic record.
Okay.
And I need you to go home and listen to it as soon as we're done recording this.
TBD. TBD. I'll give it a shot. So we know that the sandworms are attracted to these good vibrations. They hear Pet Sounds over any speaker of any size. They come running. They love the album so much. And are you getting confirmation of this right now?
I'm looking up. Okay.
So the fact that Thufir would say that the or at least insinuate that the city is being protected by a shield wall and that it protects the city against the worms doesn't make sense. If you think that the shield wall is the shields that we have come to know them right now, or come to know them so far in the movie.
Sure.
So in the books, they still use the same term, shield wall, but it is described and explained as a geological feature. It is a mountain range that protects and surrounds the city of Arrakeen, they say in the encyclopedia, I think it says it's some parts of this mountain range or this ridge extend up to 4,500 meters tall, which is very tall.
That's insanely tall.
Yes. It is crazy large. And that is the geological and geographical feature that protects the city from these Coriolis storms, which are the giant sandstorms. Mm-hmm. And the worms cannot pass through it because it's a mountain. They can only dig through sand. So that makes so much more sense in the books than having a, you know, quote unquote shields as we know them so far in the movies being the, what protects the city.
Got it.
Because they make a very, very strong point to say that you cannot turn on your personal shield in the desert because it will
attract Shai Hulud.
Yeah. It will drive the worms into a killing frenzy. I think that's what they say later. So I don't know. I feel like they could have offered that little bit of explanation because that is a contradiction to established book lore and a contradiction to what we see in the future of the movie. Mm-hmm. We don't really see deleted scenes from these movies. Maybe it was listed in one of those or it was explained away. I don't know. But it was something that just really rang in my ears as I heard the fear say it.
This is wrong.
Yeah, I put on my glasses.
Sure.
and took to my notes.
Before someone puts on their well actually glasses and comes at me for Good Vibrations and Pet Sounds, Good Vibrations was technically released after Pet Sounds. It was just a leftover track that never actually made the record. So
okay. Well, how dare you?
Yeah.
How dare you get that wrong? That music from 50 or 60 years ago.
It was 1966. Okay. Technically, I was correct. Where
it the best
was,
kind of correct
where it was not where it was not on Pet Sounds.
Okay.
It just happened to be written. Anyways, Shai Hulud likes the Beach Boys. That's confirmed. You can't convince me otherwise.
That is Dune Minute canon. At this point, someone update the wiki. We don't have a wiki.
No,
I don't.
It's just a Google Doc of things that we bitch about.
Okay, so that's my soapbox about the term shield wall. I think it's a bad name without the context. It's a bad name.
500 meters is so fucking tall for a mountain range.
Yeah, well, this is not Earth. It's a different
planet. I understand that. No.
And this is the future, man. Mountains could be bigger in the future. Arakeen's the Texas of the galaxy, man. The mountains are bigger. The worms are bigger. If they had a Buc-ee's, it would be bigger. Who knows?
Hey, yo, everything's shout out, bigger. Shout out to Buc-ee's on Arakeen, baby.
Buc-ee's
would absolutely survive this far in the future, by the way. Do you think they would have just like
the worm brisket? Yeah.
Yeah, worm brisket.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And they gotta yell every time they bring it out and start cutting it up. So
they'd have spiced Buc-ee balls. Anyways.
Just eat these and have a fucking psychedelic breakdown.
The camera pans up to reveal the city of Arakeen.
Yes.
Some notes that I had about the city is it all looks like it's uncovered under like or covered with roofs. It doesn't look there's an open courtyard or anything. Nope. Or not really any if at all.
There's no open markets or anything like that we see.
No, and it's a very like industrial like brutalist design.
I thought in watching this, and I guess one of my biggest critiques here is like, you can definitely tell that there were a lot of shortcuts taken on the CG in this moment, but in all fairness, this moment is not meant to be watched frame by frame by normal people.
That's true.
But there's definitely like a lot of copy and paste on the buildings and stuff. They're not as textured as they could have been.
Fair.
Yeah. But
at least
in their defense, it does give it a kind of cool look, almost as if the city was carved out of rock.
Yeah.
Like which is the depiction. All the buildings were carved out of the rock.
Yeah.
Itself.
And that is the depiction that it gets in other mediums.
Yeah.
So I think it's in the 84 movie. It is something that is like carved into the side of a mountain.
Yeah.
I guess that fits. But yeah, during this initial flyby, I agree. It was like very like PS2 graphics almost.
The budget definitely went to other other things for CG in this movie, and I'm not complaining about that, because like I said, this moment is not meant to be watched frame by frame the way that you and I watch this, because we're psychopaths.
That's true.
But it is very, you know, reminiscent of a lot of other desert cultures that you see, like, construction on for, like, ruins of, like, old civilizations currently.
Yeah.
In our own planet and everything, all these ruins that are found in the Middle East and stuff, very tall, like sharp angles and stuff on all the buildings and everything.
Yep.
It's very contrasting to the rounded, softer feel of all of the buildings that we saw on Caladan as well.
Oh, for sure.
And then we see the castle, palace, whatever palace, you want to call it.
Yep, the governor's palace.
Looks like a giant ziggurat.
Yeah, it does. Yep.
And it's cool to see how this palace is constructed. And you can see, like, all of these little, well, not little, they're massive cuts in the stone that are used as, like, natural ways for ventilation to keep the building itself cool without necessarily... you know, exposing the living areas to the sun. You do see some balconies and stuff that are covered, and they're still, you know, in shadow at this point of time as well.
That those marks or, you know, cutouts in the stone for, like, ventilation and, like, a pseudo air conditioning. Again, another very heavily Middle Eastern influenced design.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a really cool looking palace. I took particular note of, like, the piles of sand that were gathered in the corners that I guess were, like, be against the wind or out of the wind.
Yeah.
So you can see, like, that even though they have the shield wall, however you want to define shield wall, sand still gets through. It's the whole place is, you know, at risk of being buried in the sand. It feels like
it's coarse, rough, and it does get everywhere.
That's very true. We've learned that.
I hate it.
Anakin would hate Arrakis.
What do you mean? He's just from Arrakis. I mean, Tatooine is just Arrakis anyways, isn't it?
We're not going to start this again. yes. Tatooine is just Arrakis. Especially in the Boba Fett, the Book of Boba Fett. I think it's that where he has to literally kill a giant worm.
Yeah.
In the sand. Good job, Star Wars. We love Star Wars. We're not knocking it. Well, all we're kind of knocking it.
We'll knock it where it's appropriate.
Yeah, that's fair. So from these sweeping shots, we cut directly to a view from a telescope of sorts. I don't think we actually see the device that they're looking through.
Before we talk about that,
okay,
I do want to talk about the courtyard, because there is one courtyard that we
I'm
do
sorry,
see.
I'm sorry, I missed this note.
And we see the ornithopters landing in this courtyard.
Are they landing or just flying by?
They're landing.
They're not.
Zach, I went frame by frame.
You don't land in the courtyard.
They are descending in the courtyard.
Okay. All right.
If you also agree that they're descending in the courtyard, email us.
Email John. Address it to John.
You can say, "Hey, you're right," or "Hey, idiot, you're wrong." No. So in the courtyard, we do see two rows of trees. The only greenery in this entire city of brown and tan.
It looks like the only, like, open courtyard space at all, too, that we see.
So we see the ornithopters begin to land there. This is not the last of this courtyard that we'll see, and we'll talk a little bit more about that next week. But I did want to point out that the courtyard for the palace is the only space where we see something that isn't tan or brown.
Yeah.
For only a brief moment.
Yep.
And then we do cut to a telescope view looking up at not one, but two moons.
Two moons? I've never seen it before.
What planet would ever have two moons. Except Desert Tatooine planet. Had two suns, not two moons.
Oh, well, yeah, there you go. Copyright infringement. Avoidance.
Yeah.
Avoided. Yep. So we get the the big old moon in the background. We get a tiny moon in front of that.
Yep.
The big moon looks to have I couldn't decide if it was like an impact mark or just like
I think it's just a crater.
Yeah.
Or a canyon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I said impact mark slash like canyon like system. But it is in the shape of a hand. And then we hear from off screen, we hear Gurney say, locals call the big one the hand of God.
And our minute ends.
Right there. Yep. So nice clean break on the minute. And a nice clean end of the week.
Yes.
John. So what did you think about this week?
If I had to give this week, are you asking how many Shai Hulud I would give this week?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm asking.
Oh man. I'm gonna say this week is probably 5.5-6 Shai Hulud. Only because we get a lot of walking and talking for like a whole minute almost.
Yeah.
But we do get our first mention of the Sanal Gaib. Mm-hmm. We see the Ornithopters for the first time. I'm still incredibly sad about that whole situation.
This is a traumatic week for you, and I'm sorry. I'm sorry I brought that up.
No, I'm devastated. My weekend is ruined, and I don't want to go to work tomorrow knowing about the poor scallops. all in all, I would say a pretty solid week. We're definitely on boots on the ground on Arrakis, and yep. I'm excited to see where we go from here.
Yeah.
Even though I know where we go from here, but
I'd come in at a 6. I mean, this is from a deep like lore perspective. This is probably one of the most heavy weeks we've had so far.
Sure.
Because it touches on so much stuff. I mean, we get to see the evidence of the Missionaria Productiva. Mm-hmm. I'm probably still saying that wrong, but it's the best you're going to get. We get, as you said, the mention of Lisan al-Gaib, which is a incredibly important theme and concept within this story.
Not at all.
We get that two line dialogue between Jessica and Paul, which does a really good job of just wrapping up the theme of the entire Dune book.
Yep.
And we get
more Thufir Hawat.
We get more Thufir. So yeah, there's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of like, there's a lot of like deep lore stuff that happens in these minutes. Not super big on the action, or heavy on the action. It's not, or it's at times not even heavy on dialogue.
Yeah.
But it's still, we get to see a lot more of this world and this universe that we're going to exist in for most of the movie from now on.
Yeah.
You know, save for little snippets, we're going to be here on Arrakis and Arrakeen for most of them.
For the rest of the movie.
Yeah. For the rest of the movie. So, yeah, I think I'll go right at the 6 mark there for me.
Sounds good.
Cool. Well, if you want to get in touch with us and tell us what you thought of this week, you can reach out to us on Twitter at Dune Minute. You can email us at duneminute@gmail.com, or you can reach out to us on Instagram at The Dune Minute.
Yep.
And we'd love to hear from you, hear what you think. So that being said, we will see you next week with a fresh set of minutes. And in a fresh rooms and got new palaces to explore and a whole new city.
Got a lot to talk about.
Oh, yeah. So join us next week on the Dune Minute Podcast.
We'll see you later.
See ya.